With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
201 Sports Talk 790. Aaron Reese is with us. Aaron, outstanding coverage of the Houston Texans. And I swear to God, when I start caring about them, I'll read about them more often. I just kid. How are you, Aaron? Hello?
Hello?
You didn't hear what I said? I'm glad you didn't.
I did. I don't think you're alone in that stance.
No, seriously. You are such a good writer, and I love your website. You know that I promote it more than anybody else in the marketplace. You guys have just a great job. I just wish that you were dealt a better hand because from the perspective of embarrassing losses, I don't know if it's the worst ever in Texans history. I don't particularly care, but there should have been no surprise it was a loss. I think the biggest surprise was that the team, frankly, didn't get blown out by 56 points because of the way the Bills just didn't put things together in the first half of that game.
I guess some credit goes to the defense, right, for just kind of holding them and to field goals. I mean, there was a point in the game where 4 of 5 Bills drives started at the 50 or on the Texans side of the field. So you're going to give up some points in that situation. They deserve credit for not giving up a ton of touchdowns, but clearly the wheels are falling off by the end when Mitchell Trubisky is running for touchdowns on just like boot keepers.
Yeah. When Mitchell Trubisky is getting applause in Buffalo, you know, it's a tough day. So let me ask you this. Did you think that the playbook was opened up because of the extended period of time between the Carolina game and that Davis couldn't do it? Or was it a case of, why are you opening up a playbook against a Buffalo defense that's so good that no matter what you did in terms of play calling, unless you just had better athletes, it wasn't going to be good for him and his offense on that particular day?
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe smarter people than me would have a better discernment of what was different from one week to the next, but I didn't get any sense that they were doing anything other than continuing to kind of operate with kid gloves with this offense. I mean, you know, they've been open. I wrote about this yesterday if you want to check it out. I mean, they've been open about saying that the running game is more limited with Davis at quarterback. I mean, that's natural, right? He can't move the way Tyrod can. Even if Tyrod has only kept it on one designed quarterback run all season, the threat of him doing so can kind of block a defender and just complicate things for the defense. You don't have that with Davis. He's playing under center more than Tyrod did. And beyond that, like they said they were going to open things up. I think they ran on like 10 of 15 early down plays in the first half. And so they were obviously being very conservative, still very run heavy, and it's just not working. I mean, they can't run the ball. They're worse at it this year than they were last year, which is hard to wrap your head around, but they definitively are by pretty much any metric. They seem to want to play with these three tight end sets, despite the fact that one of those three tight ends, Jordan Akins, has never been a blocker. The best of them, Farrell Brown, was the guy, you know, he's 27 years old, the first team he's made out of training camp. And Anthony Auclair began the season on the practice squad. This team's practice squad, which, you know, this team is not very good. So those are kind of the three guys that are rolling out there, and David Culley says that is their best personnel grouping, which is hard to believe, but at the same time, they have no receivers. So what is the alternative?
I want to know how you try to establish a running game when everybody's been given the opportunity to establish it and it hasn't happened.
It's a good question, right? I mean, what I think is kind of interesting is, like, what have they said all offseason, all training camp was competition, competition, competition. If these are the results after four games, like, what is the incentive? Why are you not mixing it up, right? No one else has shown you anything to at least kind of make people try to put their jobs on the line a little bit and kind of mix up the snap rotations and stuff. I mean, what has Philip Lindsay done in four games that you don't think maybe at least gives Scotty Phillips the chance? If this is all about competition, heck, what has David Johnson done that he doesn't deserve a chance over Philip Lindsay at this point? He's actually been, in limited sample size, he's been the most efficient running back on the team.
How much do you want to blame the offensive line for this?
I think most of it. I mean, they ranked 31st in yards before contact per carry, which is generally viewed as like kind of an offensive line stat, right? I mean, that's how good is the blocking. So I think that's a big part of it. But I also think that you would have a tough time. You'd have to have an elite offensive line probably to really do anything better than like slightly below average given the circumstances. Because like I said, they're trying to play as heavy personnel, which is not good because their tight end's overmatched. They're not really talented at that position. But the flip side is they might be even less talented at wide receiver, especially with Danny Amendola out, especially with Nico Collins out. I mean, Brandon Cooks is very good, but he's also leading the league in target share because there's no one else to throw the ball to. So if you want to try to spread the field and lighten the box, maybe have a little more success running the ball from one play to the next, but you probably are even more limited from a passing game. And I also think at the end of the day, like, even if you want to spread the field out and put more receivers on the field, teams don't respect Davis Mills. And why would they after this game, right? So they're going to continue to play the run and make him prove he can beat them. And I just don't think he can.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's put some water in the glass here and make it sound close to half full. You can't play as poorly as you did two consecutive weeks. And on top of that, Aaron, Buffalo is significantly better than New England coming up on Sunday. So let's give some hope that it's a much more competitive game. And how do you envision that being the case?
You know, I think the big thing is that Mac Jones, people want to give him a lot of praise for how he played against Brady, and he did play well, and he did complete a lot of passes in a row. I think the encouraging thing, if you are the Texans, is that he did not push the ball downfield, right? It was little dinks and dunks. I mean, I don't think he averaged, most of his passes were not more than like 5 yards downfield. I think that might have been actually his average completion. So if that's kind of the case, I think that kind of plays in a little bit to what Lovie Smith likes to do, right, in terms of like keep everything in front of you, rally the ball, make them have to be efficient and over again, long drops. If you're a rookie quarterback, maybe you think, okay, he did it once this week against a good Bucs defense. The Texans are not as good of a defense, but maybe a little bit of variance there. You get a little benefit. He turns the ball over once or something like that. He did turn the ball over against Tampa too. So that would be one thing. And I think the other thing is like, you know, the Texans were obviously terrible. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if like, every week Davis Mills is going to throw four interceptions. I guess if you want to be half full, it's that, I mean, he said this after the game too, is like, it can only go up from here. And I think there is something to that. For one, they can't score negative points. And for two, like, the guy is probably not a good quarterback. He probably is not a starting NFL quarterback. I feel confident saying that after two games. But is he maybe going to be as bad as he was Sunday every week? I mean, that'd be pretty hard, right? So if he's even just comes up a little bit closer to average what he can be, then I think that would help.
Couple more minutes here with Aaron Reese from The Athletic. Aaron, what is going to happen with Tyrod Taylor once he comes off injury reserve? Does he get that spot back immediately, or do you, if you're the Texans, continue to give Mills two or three more shots to at least get a better taste in his mouth before you eventually give it back to Tyrod? Or if you do, or do you give it to Tyrod at all?
No, my understanding is that Tyrod, it will be his job when he comes back. So it's just a matter of when he comes back.
So then what does Davis Mills do for the next 4 weeks? Just sit there with the clipboard and watch how the game moves, I guess? Yes?
I guess so. I think this obviously was a very tough test for him. I'm not going to say any quarterback should be written off after four games, three games, however many ends up starting. But I think you probably can say that he most likely is not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You know, I looked this up yesterday, by expected points added, which is like an advanced metric that considers down and distance, on a per dropback basis, the only quarterbacks who were worse in their first two starts were Luke Falk and Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci is backup. This is since like 2006. Ben DiNucci is backup for the Cowboys, and Luke Falk obviously had a pretty terrible game and when he briefly started for the Jets, and he's currently unemployed. He's a free agent. So does that mean Davis Mills is necessarily never going to be a starter? Probably not. But not necessarily, but I think contextually, you can safely assume that the odds are against him. In fairness to him, just as they were against him when they drafted in the third round, right? Historically, those guys are not really great. I mean, Jacoby Brissett is one of the best third round draft picks at quarterback in a long time. So, or, you know, historically, and he's up there. So,
well, if that's the case, then of all the things you just said, Aaron, then Davis got some incredibly, incredibly bad advice, because if there was one message I kept hearing over and over and over again the day he was drafted, was if he was going to stick around at Stanford for one more year, he would have been a first-round selection. Then anybody that told him to go to the NFL draft should be fired or should not be a friend of Davis Mills, because they gave their buddy some very bad advice.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've done some reporting on kind of his decision and all those things, and what I heard over and over is that, you know, he redshirted and then he was injured and stuff like that, and so a lot of his friends and people he kind of came to Stanford with were also leaving. He felt like there was some uncertainty over what this college football season would be like because of the pandemic. So and then people say, you know, I mean, he felt ready, whatever. I mean, he evidently was not, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of that goes to him, goes to someone else. I think what is interesting is, like, you know, I thought at the time that the pick was fine. I you know, people got up in arms about it. I think you have to throw darts and try to get this position right, especially as you're kind of walking in the wilderness again here. But, you know, something when I was reporting on after he got drafted is that the Texans didn't talk to his, like, longtime private quarterbacks coach. They didn't talk to the guy who trained him before the draft. They didn't talk to his high school coach. And sure, they have Pep Hamilton. He was offensive coordinator at Stanford. They can get their intel other ways. But, I mean, when you look at how bad the guy is, that seems like kind of a mistake to not have spoken to any of those people.
All right, last question. Can the Texans keep it close this week, or does Bill Belichick go, my quarterback's getting better, and my defense would love to go against a rookie quarterback? This should be a fun trip for us. What do you think is going to happen?
I think that the spread is 9.5. I think that the Patriots will cover and win by at least 10 points.
Brutal truth from the one and only Aaron Reese on Twitter at Aaron J. Reese. Last question, super last question. How were the wings in Buffalo?
Okay, you're going to laugh at me. I never had any.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You spent 5 minutes of my show last week talking about part of the reason why you want to go to Buffalo is to eat the wings.
I know. Okay, so here's what happened. The other reason was Niagara Falls. I did do that. Awesome. Would definitely recommend if you ever go up there. Nice way to spend a couple hours. I didn't go on the boat or whatever, but it was a good time. I tried to get wings at like a brewery that was recommended to me on Saturday night. 2-hour wait at the brewery, and then so I didn't eat there. I ended up eating somewhere else where it wasn't an option. And then I thought I was going to have them after the game on Sunday. At a spot my colleague Tim Graham from in Buffalo recommended, but he told me, he's like, just so you know, pretty much every bar here on a Sunday by the end of the night after the Bills game, they're out of most stuff, and like the staff is all exhausted, and like half of them are drunk. Sure enough, the bar I went to kind of near the stadium, like a 10-minute walk from the stadium. Bartender looked pretty lit, and the most of the food was gone, and I ended up getting like a roast beef on a Weck or something. It was another
Buffalo
beef
on Weck,
Yeah.
It was fine. Not what I was looking for, but you know, I guess I'll have to make my trip back up there at some other point.
I sent you to a steakhouse in Cleveland. Did you go to that one at least?
It was. I was very good.
Well, then you're welcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm devastated that you did. Well, Matt, what were the women in Buffalo looking like?
A lot of Josh Allen jerseys. Everyone's pretty bundled up.
Yeah. And Bill's mind, did someone fall on a chair or something or light themselves on fire when you were walking in?
No one did that. But it did, you know, I've been to Green Bay too, and it did give me a similar sort of vibe in terms of like, you could pay to like, you know, tailgate at someone's house and use their bathroom and stuff. So nice. I did like kind of like the small town feel of that, just that it was like, you know, in the suburbs and that.
All right, we'll leave it there. Hey, great information. Sorry you didn't get the wings. But we're going to read you anyway because we love The Athletic. We love what you bring to the Texans, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. I look forward to recapping my trip to Indianapolis in a couple weeks.
I can tell you there, you're going to St. Elmo's. That's a given.
Absolutely.
That is an absolute 100% given. Thank you, friend.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.